It was pouring rain. Monstrous droplets that stung as they struck, like having pebbles thrown against one's face over and over again. A deluge that turned the streets of Arakom to streams, waterfalls pouring from the rooftops. Blackened skies flickered with lightning, the resultant thunder deafening Tarianna's ears. Yet, for all the storm's ferocity, the Aranoquians had still come out in the thousands, in the tens of thousands, to witness the execution of Urkon. A platform was set up at the center of the God Circle, the great stone towers dedicated to each of the seven gods seeming to watch as the space filled with people. Men, women, children. Their faces were twisted with hate and fury and anticipation. Their words indistinguishable, but the collective volume rivaled the thunder as they called for the blood of a tyrant. Motion caught Tarianna's eye, and she glanced past Marcus to see Titus cross his arms, his helmet doing little to hide his disapproval of the scene. Not for the first time, she was struck by how much the young commander of the 41st resembled his father, Lucius Cassius, and not just in his features.
"If they riot, we'll have more casualties than we did taking the rutting city," Titus muttered. "Every blasted person in Aranoquia is here. To bear witness is to strike the blow. It's the closest thing to revenge these people have,"
Marcus answered, his voice still raspy from his injured throat. It had been only 2 days since he and Tarianna had stood together on the hill overlooking Arakom, since he'd committed to whatever it was that was between them, a fragile relationship built on affection and lust, and something deeper she wouldn't put a name to. 2 days since she'd abandoned reason and committed to the same. Water sluiced down Marcus's face, but his eyes remained fixed on the crowd, mouth an unsmiling line, the slight flexing of the muscles in his jaw the only sign of emotion. A scrape marred one of his cheeks, and his throat was ringed with dark bruises in the shape of fingers. Injuries that he'd gained coming to her aid when she'd been kidnapped and held prisoner in a failed gambit to defeat the Cell Legions. As though sensing her scrutiny, Marcus turned his head, gray-blue eyes meeting hers with an intensity that made Tarianna feel as though they stood utterly alone, despite being surrounded by 50 men of the 37th. The corner of his mouth tilted up for a heartbeat, and warmth flooded her chest. Then his attention moved back to the crowd. Her own skin prickled, and Tarianna looked to her left, finding Felix's gaze on her. The second-in-command's bland expression did nothing to hide his anger and hurt at having his place at Marcus's side usurped. Given he was potentially the one who'd paid Urkon's men to get rid of her, standing elbow to elbow with him was unnerving at best. "Was it you?" she silently asked. "Are you the traitor? Or are you merely the scapegoat?" The crowd surged, pulling Tarianna from her thoughts. A thin corridor formed, leading toward the platform, and several armed Aranoquians appeared, dragging a figure between them. Urkon. For more than a decade, he'd lorded over his people with a heavy fist, extorting their wealth, stealing their children for his armies, slaughtering any who stood against him, and enforcing his dominance with terrifying brutality. He was a monster, a villain of the First Order. But it was hard to remember that as she took in the ancient man the warriors were half carrying. His legs were unable to bear his weight. They'd stripped him, his naked body scrawny and feeble, and showing signs of gout.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.